All right. Well, you know what? The new year's coming up, and we're not going to talk about New Year's resolutions. I'll let Jenny Craig do that for you, right? Or whatever.
Nobody knows who Jenny Craig is.
Jenny Craig, Weight Watchers, or you know, whatever it is you're looking at.
Program.
Yeah, whatever. So I don't know. Or, you know, whatever it is you're, you know, wanting to do this year. I don't know. Whatever that is. But, you know, I just kind of want to reflect this year, the past year. You know, we've seen a lot of challenges. Obviously, I think people have seen, you know, a lot of financial turmoil. Me being a finance guy, you know, with inflation, a lot of political turmoil, international turmoil. You know, we've seen a lot of people lose their jobs, right? And then also, you know, because of different things going on, we've seen a lot of people, our family members, you know, lost family members this year. We've had a lot of people that we've known that have passed away, you know, just the last couple of years because of COVID and other things that went on. So, you know, sometimes it seems like there's a lot of things going on, right, with our life. But we look at Philippians chapter 3, we can have a new beginning. And I think I said earlier that, you know, all throughout the Word, God is completely, a lot of it is, you know, His mercies are new every day. There are new things that we can do. If we get hung up on, you know, the way that we've lived or the things we've done or the mistakes that we've made, we're never going to press forward, right? And we're definitely going to look at some people in the Word that did that. But Philippians chapter 3, verse 13 says, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind," here we go, "and reaching forth unto those things which are before." Now, no matter what you're doing, I remember I ran track, okay? And one of the things that I did was like a 200 4x4. So there's other people that would run, and I usually ran the end of it, and you know, those little batons, you know, they hand off, okay? That's a trick, isn't it? You know what we did in track we would do? We would practice handing off. Because that's where the mistake's going to happen, right? Because that's where it's going to drop. Well, guess what? When you drop it, you're done. It's over. So you're reaching behind you, but what's the whole emphasis? Moving forward, right? Well, the mistake is if you lag too far behind, and you don't, so again, there's a kind of a double-edged sword there where you're trying to move forward and you're still trying to grab what's behind you. How many things have you done in life or whether it's activities or anything else too where you have to let something go to grab something moving forward? You can't hold on to two things at one time, right? You have to often in life let something go to move forward. That's what the Lord is talking about here in Philippians. He says, you got to let some things go if you're going to move forward with me. You can't hold on to baggage and hold on to those things and expect to move forward and see progress in your life. That's with him or whatever it is that you're doing. Then he goes on in 14, "I press towards the mark." This is the Apostle Paul telling the people at Philippi, "I press towards the mark for the prize," here we go, "of the high calling of God in Christ." So no matter what it is your goals in life, the end all be all goal is Christ, right? No matter what it is I'm doing, I'm still pressing forward to those things in Christ. Luke chapter 9, this is interesting. This is Jesus. He's talking about different things, and he's kind of rebuking the disciples here. Luke chapter 9, verse 61, and I'm going to start in verse 56. Excuse me. And Luke chapter 9, verse 56, I'll start there, and he says, "For the Son of Man," which is, he's referring to himself. In the Bible, he is the Son of God. He is the Son of Man. There's different things, but he refers to himself as the Son of Man more than he does the Son of God. "The Son of Man is not come to destroy men's lives, but to save them. And they went on to another village," talking about him and his disciples. Well, that's a really good comforting to know, because too many people think that God is out to get them, right? And we see too many times throughout the Word and throughout the Scripture that God isn't here to kill people. He's not here to do these things. But we see in John 10:10 that he's come to what? "The devil steals, kills, steals, destroy, but I have come that you have life and have it more abundantly," right? So Jesus delineates himself between the devil. He's like, the devil does bad things, and I've come to do good things and to bring you life and more abundantly. Verse 57, and it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow you wherever you go. And he said, well, the foxes have holes and the birds have birds of the air have nests, and the Son of Man doesn't have anywhere to lay his head. And he said unto them, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me that I go and bury my father. And here's what I want to get to. Verse 60, and Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go and preach the kingdom of God. In verse 61, and he said, Lord, I will follow you, but first let me say farewell that I can go to my house. And Jesus said in verse 62, no man having his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of God. Again, what are all these scriptures saying? The Lord is saying, you need to press forward. You need to press forward. You need to press forward. And in our flesh, we want to look back too, don't we? We want to look back on things. We want to look back on, and I think there's a balance, right? There's a balance. It's good, definitely good to forget about the bad things, your mistakes, okay? I got plenty of them, and I'm sure a few of us in here do have mistakes you want to forget, right? But sometimes it's good to lay aside our accomplishments. Why is that? Because it focuses on us, right? I mean, it's good to see our accomplishments, but, you know, in a lot of settings I've been, especially work settings, you know, you'll have something where maybe you've accomplished something, you've had a great sale, you've had something, and then what's the next day? Okay, what are you going to do now? Right? See, we can camp on the wonderful thing, but I did this yesterday. Guess what? Your boss can come to you and say, okay, that's great. That was what? Yesterday. What are you going to do now? And see, we can get hung up on. Now, this is kind of a silly thing. You ever seen the movie Napoleon Dynamite? All right. I'm sorry. I'm going to lower the standards here today, guys. Okay. But Napoleon Dynamite has an uncle named Rico. Okay. And the whole movie, all he is doing is he is thinking about 1982, the championship game. And what's he doing? He is reliving that thing every single minute in that movie. Right. He is the epitome of not being able to move forward in life because he is so hung up on the past. You're going to lose brain cells and IQ points if you watch that movie. I'm telling you right now. But anyway, so we can get hung up on both sides of the fence, right? We can get so hung up on our mistakes that we can't get over it, and we don't, and it destroys our confidence moving forward. But then, too, we can be so focused on our accomplishments that we're happy to sit down and camp where we're at, right? And we don't want to move forward. You know, the interesting thing was you look at when the pilgrims came here and they first settled, do you realize that they didn't move past about 15 miles past the coast? They traveled across the pond thousands of miles from England to the United States. When they got here, they couldn't get past 15 miles from the coast for years. Well, then Thomas Jefferson came along, third president, right? And what happened there? Louisiana Purchase. How many history buffs do I have in here? Then he sent, about 1803, he sent off Lewis and Clark, right? To explore everything. You mean, when you read about the history of what the people thought was over here, I mean, they thought there was dinosaurs, and I mean, they thought that there was enormous creatures. I mean, there's all kinds of wild, crazy stuff. But what happened was, once the Puritans got here on Plymouth Rock, they couldn't move past that. Why? Because they were so focused on their accomplishment. Look how far we made it. You only made it 15 miles since you got here, right? You haven't done anything else. First Peter 5:7. I'm going to read through some of these here. It says, casting all your care on him, for he cares for you. You know God cares for you, and we need to cast off the care that we have, that we've had in 2022, and moving 2023, we need to be carefree. Genesis 19, verse 26. This is very powerful scripture here, talking about looking back. This is the account of Lot. Do you remember Lot? He was Abraham's nephew, and he was in Sodom and Gomorrah at the time. He was living there in Sodom. And in verse 26, and now this is after the angel came down and spoke with visited They came and they visited with Lot, and they said, okay, this is what's going to happen. We're going to have fire and brimstone. We need to get you out of here, right? And what was one of the commandments? He says, go and don't look back, right? Why? Because you'll turn into a pillar of salt. Here's what happened, verse 26. But his Lot's wife, looked back from behind him, and what? And she became a pillar of salt. Now, what does Sodom and Gomorrah represent? Well, you know, some people say, well, you know, that just sounds crazy. But there's a purpose for that, and I believe that everything in the Word is very strategic. God has things in there for us to be able to glean from. But if we look at what Sodom and Gomorrah represents, what does it represent? The past. Because she's looking back to the past. It represents sin, mistakes, rebellion, and here we go, life without the Lord. I mean, you've ever been around those people before, and I laugh about some of the silly things I've done before, but you ever had those people where they talk about their past and they almost brag about it? You know, I'm embarrassed about sin. You know, I'm ashamed of those things. I don't want to go. That's the same as what's happening here with Lot's wife. She's looking back to her past. See, God is saying, you need to press forward. This is where I need you to be. This is where safety is. This is where provision's at. This is where I'm leading you. And when you look back, again, you're taking your eyes off of him. 2023, we need to put our eyes on him. It doesn't matter what kind of a mess we've seen in 2022 or in the past before, mistakes we've made, or wish I would have done this, wish I would have done that, shoulda, coulda, woulda, forget it. Move on. Press on. Hebrews 10:38-39. Hebrews 10:38-39. And it says, and those whose faith has made them good in God's sight, this is the Living Bible, must live by faith, trusting in him in everything. Otherwise, if they shrink back, God will have no pleasure in them. What's he saying here too? I've got things out there for you, callings and different things that I'm leading you in. And when you shrink back, where you pull away from it, you recoil from those things I've given you or the revelation, the things that you know to do, God will have no pleasure in them. But verse 39, but we have never turned our backs on God and sealed our faith. No, our faith in him assures our soul's salvation. God doesn't like people who recoil back from him. I mean, look at different people like Judas Iscariot. Right? He walks with God, and then all of a sudden, he sells him, or Peter. You know, Peter's name was, it was changed to Peter, which means the rock. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. We're just going to get through some scriptures tonight. That's right. But we need chapter 12. So you're almost there. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. It's hilarious. You know, years ago, and I mean, this is funny. Years ago, I had while I was preaching, they kept looking at their phone. I thought, that's so rude. And then I figured out they were looking up their Bible scriptures. I'm like, oh, okay, I guess so. Right? It was just kind of weird. Like, when it started happening, I'm thinking all of a sudden there was all these people like, how dare they text and check, like, Facebook while we're at church? And then and it was like, they're checking their scriptures here. So that makes sense. So, yeah, I'm a school. So, anyway, it's okay. I didn't mean to. It just triggered some issues I had in my life that I needed to get rid of tonight. I need to stop looking back at the past of my mistakes. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2, it says, wherefore, seeing we are encompassed about with so great a cloud of witnesses, this is such a great scripture. Let us lay aside every weight and sin that so easily besets us, and let us run with patience the race that is set before us. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, for the joy that was set before him, endured the cross, despised the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. This is so incredible. This is such an amazing scripture. First of all, guys, no matter how you feel, we have got a spiritual cheerleading section in heaven. You don't see it. There are people who are rooting for you what at any point, if you're not at this point, to be born again, to get saved in heaven right now. So it says, right? And what this calls for, you know, the Bible is all about personal responsibility. I know I'm going to step on some toes tonight, but, you know, we live in a society where everything, nothing is anybody's fault, right? Just take this pill, just do this, must have been, you know, even the Christians get on that board too. Oh, it's a generational curse. It's like, well, no, I'm sorry. I'm born again. Jesus, God's my father now, so I don't need to have generational curses anymore. That's broken off of me. You know, everything is not, nobody, God is in the scriptures all about having personal responsibility. You are doing these things. You're held accountable. But you know what? He gives you the grace. He gives you the ability to do it. And he's there with us. I love Mr. Gary's example that he gave there. Take one step to him. He takes one step to you. It's awesome. But God is all about, there's a cheering section in us. But what he's saying is, okay, moving forward, lay aside the weight. What are the weights? Well, one of them is sin, right? What about worry? Yeah. Anxiety? Concern? Those are weights that can hinder you from moving forward. Insecurity? I don't think I can do it. Well, my Bible says I can do all things through Christ with what strengtheneth me. So wherever he guides, he provides. I mean, you look at Moses. Guys, you look at the people in the Bible God used. They were the most, I mean, the people, the guys that Jesus picked were not scholarly, okay? We see that in the book of Acts when later they talk to the Sanhedrin and it says they were ignorant. They were unlearned, but they'd been with Jesus, right? So Jesus, God picked people that were not the la creme of the creme, right? I mean, Jesus was born in a barn. There is no fancy stuff with God. I mean, you know, if he uses me for crying out the night, he can use anybody, right? He uses imperfect people. They were, anyway, you dig into the disciples, and they were, I mean, he had a tax collector. That in itself is, ooh, right? In those days, a tax collector, that was, yeah, not good, okay? So, Jesus had some sketchy characters in his entourage, but he believed in people, right? And you look at Moses. Moses stuttered. He couldn't even talk right. And he said, I need Aaron. God, I mean, can you at least have Aaron talk for me? And God's like, okay, it's a deal. He'll be your spokesman. Okay? You're gonna represent me, and then he's gonna represent you. So we got people that couldn't talk right, couldn't do anything, that probably weren't really that, on the social standard, weren't really looked at. You look at Elijah and Elisha. Elijah is going to the school of prophets looking for somebody to take over his ministry. What's he end up doing? Some old smelly guy out there, Elisha, out there working a team of oxen. Why? Because he wants somebody that's a worker. And he walks up and he goes, hey, you want to take over my mantle? You want to take over my ministry? He's like, yeah, okay, what I want you to do, go ahead and slaughter your oxen here, make it a sacrifice, and follow me. I mean, I know I'm getting off some tangent here, but you look at Jesus, when you read the Gospels, you see that the sons of thunder, right, and they're all fishermen. We see that Peter was a fisherman, his brother Andrew was a fisherman. We see James and John were fishermen, and Jesus comes up, now get this, in front of their dad, a family business, says, follow me. And they leave their dad with a company business and follow Jesus. How'd you like that, right? Your workforce gets up and leaves you. And you got these boats and these nets, and now what am I going to do, right? So again, you know, we're worried about everything else too, but people in the Bible, whether they follow Jesus or Moses was called, whatever, God just says, do it. And here, well, I just read this scripture too, where Jesus said, no, you're not worthy. If you got to go back and bury the dead, you got to do these things. Because his disciples were the people that just dropped things. They didn't look back, like Lot's wife, and then just moved forward with Jesus. It was just like, let's do this. But then the people that went along, now, can I just say this? Jesus really didn't have miracles before he called the disciples. I mean, there was nothing about Jesus other than maybe an anointing because he was baptized with the Holy Spirit at the time. But there wasn't a fanfare about Jesus. There was nothing going on. Jesus just walked up and said, okay, start following me. And these men just started following me, started getting a team together, all these disciples. But when the time we read here in Luke chapter 9, Jesus already had miracles. He already had all these things going on, and now people are pumping the brakes and saying, I got to go back and do this and do that. And Jesus is probably thinking to himself, okay, you just saw me heal all these people and do all these things, and you've got to pump the brakes on this and question like, okay, I need to take care of some things at home first before I follow you? And I don't think so. Romans 6:23 says, and we'll close with some things here. Well, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Psalms 103. Actually, I want to skip to Jeremiah 29, 10, and 11. Jeremiah 29, 10, and 11. And I think this is a very powerful scripture. Now, when you read this scripture, you think, oh, that's good. But when you understand the historical content behind what Jeremiah is saying here, I think it's going to really kind of open some things up to you. So, first of all, I want to say this. When Jeremiah is saying this, the Hebrews are currently enslaved to the Babylonians. All right, so just keep that in mind when I read the scripture to you. It says, verse 10, thus says the Lord, that after 70 years be accomplished at Babylon, I will visit you. So they are now enslaved. They have been carried away to Babylon. They are sitting in Babylon. And Jeremiah is writing this. He says, and perform my good word towards you in causing you to return to this place. Here we go. For I know the thoughts that I think towards you, says the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil. Here we go. To give you an expected end. They are enslaved. And Jeremiah is saying, the Lord is speaking through Jeremiah. And he says, I love you and I'm going to give you a good ending. I'm enslaved. Hello? I don't see any good things happening right now. Right? See, God sees things he sees things beyond our current situation, but what are we just often looking at? But the situation, but the bills, but the this, but the that. And God's like, no, it's all going to end up good. What's he say at the end? I love it. An expected end. An expected end. You're going to have a great ending. Romans 8:28. And we'll finish up here. And we know all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. Right? If you're in God's will, if you're born again, he's going to make all things work together if you're willing to step and obey him, right? But I love it because it says, and we know that all things work together for them that love God and to them who are called according to his purpose. And 1 Corinthians 2:9, we'll end with this. And we know that all things work together to them that love God who are called according to his purpose. No, I'm sorry. I want to read. Actually, there's another one here I want to read. I think I copied those, but I want to read Romans 8. When I was in Damana School of Missions, we read this all the time, and I loved it. Romans 8. Verse 1 and 2, 8, 1 and 2. Therefore, there is now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus. Have you got some things this year that you've been beating yourself up over? Because the Bible says that there's no condemnation, right? To them who walk after Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. That's liberating. So a couple things we need to do for 2023. First of all, if you got your own, New Year's resolution, okay, whatever. You just do whatever you need to do, you know. I'm going to do this every day. And I love Mr. Gary's joke. You know, it's 1 year and out the other, right? So that was hilarious. That's hilarious. But first of all, get rid of the condemnation. Any mistakes, anything bad that's happened in 2022, you're not going to be able to move forward if you don't release it, if you don't let it go, right? And number two, press forward. We're not going to look back at those things in the past. We need to bury them. Let them go. Cut it off. Move forward. And there in Corinthians chapter 12, where we need to run with patience our race. It's not a sprint. You know, this life is not a sprint. It's not, we're going to break out. I was a sprinter. And when I played baseball, everything was really, really fast. And after about 90 yards, I was like, oh, I was exhausted. Right? You get that? I couldn't handle these guys that I ran with that were, you know, we're going to run a mile. It's like, how do you do that? Just like, I'm like a bottle rocket. Ah. You know, it's like, bam, I'm done, you know. And then, just pick me up, pick the pieces up, take me back. But that was it. So, you know, it was like baseball. It was like 90 feet, I'm done. Or, you know, if I ran around all the way one time, it was like, whew. But it's a long distance race, isn't it? It's something that we endure, right? And 1 year. But the great thing is the Word talks about His mercies are new every day. There's a new year, new mercies, new plan, new things for God has for us, and just press forward. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight, and I want to give an opportunity too as we pray. If you've never made Jesus the Lord of your life, you've never made that commitment to Him tonight, we want to pray for you. Amen. We want to pray for you. If you've never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, definitely want to pray for you tonight. Amen. We always want an opportunity, so when we're done, or if you need prayer for anything, just come up. We definitely want to pray for you. Amen. But Father, I pray over everyone tonight that 2023 is going to be the best year ever. Amen. I pray financial blessings on people here. I pray that people will have, just like the Word says, witty inventions. I thank you, Lord, that their gifts will make a calling and a way for them, Lord. But Lord, I thank you for wisdom tonight on everyone here. Wisdom and knowledge and an ability to see, Lord, and to let go of the past, to press forward with the new things that you have for us, Lord. We have new beginnings this year, and just because things have maybe happened to us, been patterns in the past where it just continues to happen, we say it's broken this year in the name of Jesus, and new things are bringing forth in our finances, in our families, in our homes, in our businesses, in our jobs, every area of life, Lord. We are breaking through, and it's because of you and your ability and your anointing on us in your name. Amen. 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 Hallelujah. See you all next year.